Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. It's always a joy to have you not just join in by listening, but also join in by calling in with your questions and answers, dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about today a subject that I believe should be of interest to everyone. It's questions about the Bible, questions about biblical truth, or you might say Q&A. We're going to talk about the questions that you have today. It's an open line for Bible discussion. Open line for Bible discussion. Theological, doctrinal, biblical issues. Those things that you are seeking answers to. Those questions that you have wondered, who do I go to ask this question? It is a fascinating thing to me. The number of questions that Christians have that so often go unanswered because they're not asked. So we entertain that today. And by the way, before we do our opening monologue, let me remind you along with that what we're going to offer today. I'm looking at a book in my hand. It is written by Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is one of the professors in our university, Conservative Theological University. The title of the book is simply Bible Doctrines in Q&A. It is Knowing Bible Truth. And it covers all of the 10 major doctrines and the Bible questions and scripture references to those questions. We're going to offer this book today free, and we'll pay the postage to ship it to you. Each one that calls in today with a Bible question, we're going to send this book to you if you'd like to have it. You could leave your name and address with the call screener as you call in. Get Roger to take your name and address. We'll ship this book to you free of charge. We're passionate about the book and what it does in the hearts and the lives of believers to understand Bible truth, Bible doctrine a little better. And so we want you to have that in your hands. It's not a massive book. It covers the 10 major doctrines. It's less than 100 pages. It is in Q&A form. It asks a question, gives an answer. For example, I'm looking at page 41. It's on the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? That's the question. God the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, eternally existing with God the Father and God the Son. Then it gives all the scripture. Not all. It is truncated because it takes a dictionary to cover all the answers, all of the scripture references, but it gives the pertinent scripture references on each one of them. Here's chapter 8, God, the doctrine of God. Who is God? God is the eternal creator who manifested himself in the written word, the Bible, and is the living word, Jesus Christ, and gives the answer. Who made God? And gives the answer. Have you ever thought about that? Where did God come from? Who made God? Well, that's just a little sample of what's in the book. It's yours free, and we'll pay the shipping to get it to you because we'd love to have you have this good tool book in your hands to study the Scripture, learn the Scripture, understand what the Scripture says and answers your questions in relationship to that. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, as we do each and every day on this broadcast, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. It's not denominational dogma. This broadcast is not based on some political philosophical rhetoric. It's not based on what I think or say. The broadcast is totally based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. Ladies and gentlemen, outside of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, there's no real truth. This is the reason Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that I commend to you today. And lest you forget my introductory monologue in part each and every day, talks about the fact that back in 1947 and 48 with George Orwell, the secularist, in the book that he had written called 1984, which was a projection of where he felt in the what is called, become known as the dystopian novel, where Orwell talked about what America would be like in 1984. Well, he missed it by a few years because we're finding it to be unveiled in 2020 and 2021. We're there today. But Orwell made this statement. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly true today. The more we see we are drifting into the death of truth, the more we see those being despised and hated for telling the truth. This is the reason I like to go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, I commend that thought to you today. I believe we're in an era when there is a disparaging of the truth. There's a revulsion for the truth. There's a rejection of the truth. And those that tell the truth need to understand that many times you have to stand alone in order to tell the truth. And those that we're speaking the truth to want to reject it. It's an amazing thing to me, but it's a fact. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands LaConda and Echo. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. And there's a benchmark, ladies and gentlemen, that can easily identify the location of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole with American flag Old Glory flying 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have Pastor Davis with me today. Pastor Glenn Davis, hailing from the wonderful city up at Folkestone, Georgia.
Amen.
Delighted to have you with us today, Pastor.
Praise God. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for being here again on today and to be able to share spiritual truths.
Yes.
Amen. With our brothers and sisters in Christ on today, yes. Because there's so much false information that's going around out there.
Lord help us.
So many people that are still misleading people down the wrong road. And I find this to be antithetical, because it's happening in the body of Christ.
That's
amen.
Right.
And I believe that's happening for a reason, Dr. Youngblood. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why we're coming forth with this broadcast on today with questions and answers concerning the truth, because it's essential that God's people know the truth and be led by the Spirit of truth. Amen.
Absolutely.
Because that's who he is.
I believe it's more important today than the history of our nation. I believe it's more important today than the history of Christianity.
Amen.
Because, as you said, Pastor, there's so much that is untruth out there, so much that is antithetical to the truth of the Word of God, and so many things that so many Christians believe, and they think that it's in the Word of God, And they don't know because they've not studied it. They've not read it.
Amen.
They've not meditated on the word. But ladies and gentlemen, there are multitudes of Christians today. And may I tuck this in? I believe, Pastor, there are a lot of non-Christians today that may be listening that have a lot of questions about the Bible, questions about who God is, questions about who's the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Questions about how do you get saved, questions about does baptism save you, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to talk about just by the whole litany of those questions while we invite you, ladies and gentlemen, to call in with your question. You might have a Bible question. We're focusing today on biblical questions, theological, doctrinal, biblical questions, or you might say denominational questions, but it's all in the realm of spiritual, biblical context. What does the Bible say?
Amen.
The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. But, Pastor, there's a lot of serious questions about biblical truth today, and I just simply say it's sad to say that many churches today, the Bible is not being taught. Now, perhaps you, as you listen, you say, well, how can it be true that you are in a church and the Bible is not being taught? Pastor, address that. What do you see? What do you think? What would you say if I made a dogmatic statement that multitudes of churches today, a pastor will stand and read a verse of Scripture, and then we'll talk for 30 to 45 minutes, but the Bible is not being taught? Why is that so? What causes that? What do you think? What do you see that's taking place?
Well, the main thing I have come across, Dr. Youngblood, in the church when I see these type of things happening is either the person is, and I hate to say this word, but I don't mean it in a cut-down sense. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to belittle anyone, but they are either ignorant or unlearned.
Yes.
That's a dangerous situation to be in the body of Christ on today, mm-hmm. especially as being a leader. This is the reason why Paul told Timothy in the book of Titus to appoint qualified leaders.
Absolutely.
Amen, in the church. And this is what we're supposed to be doing on today. We're not trying to put anyone up today that just desire to have the position mm-hmm. or just to hold the title.
But,
you know, a lot of people, amen, thrive off of titles
right.
and off of the spotlight.
That's right.
But I'm so thankful and grateful to God on today, amen, that I still consider myself just a brother.
Amen.
And that's all we're all going to be. Once we get over into
the
kingdom
of
God, amen.
At the foot of the cross, the ground is level.
Amen. Amen. There's not going to be any bishops. There's not going to be any pastors.
That's right.
All of us are just going to be children.
That's right.
Amen. We're going to be brothers and sisters in Christ in his kingdom.
That's right.
So we need to get used to that on today.
That's right.
But that's the biggest problem in the church on today, mm-hmm. Dr. Youngblood. They're
striving
either
for
ignorant,
position.
Or they're unlearned, mm-hmm. or they're striving for the spotlight for which they are not qualified.
That's right. Absolutely.
Amen. So we need to be careful. We need to be watchful and know and understand on today that if you have a leader in position that are preaching the word and living the life, you don't know. You have a true crown jewel in the body of
amen.
Christ. This
amen.
Is what I call this man on today, amen, Dr. Youngblood. He knows I've said this many a times, amen. I brag on him everywhere I go. I thank and praise God for him, for God putting him into my life on today, because I have been able to learn so much more, amen, since I came to Conservative Theological amen. University. Dr. Phelps, amen, as well, amen. Two men that I think a lot of on today who are preaching the word and living the life. They are valuable in
amen.
The body of Christ.
Amen. Well, I'm humbled by your statement and thankful for it, brother.
Amen.
It's a blessing. But I say that one of the things, and you touched on it, we have today so many that are Christians. They are weak, immature, unlearned, and anemic in the word.
Amen. Amen.
And it's the fault of the one standing in the pulpit. Now, I understand. Let me just clarify that, ladies and gentlemen. Then we'll take our caller. I understand that multitudes of pastors that are preaching the truth, preaching expositorially, verse by verse, word for word, preaching the word of God, teaching the word, trying to train in the word. That's the responsibility of the pulpit. But there's a second responsibility, and that is for the hearer to heed the word, to study the word, and to learn the word themselves. You can't
Amen.
Take your Bible. You can't take your Bible and drag it to church on Sunday morning, go back home and put it on the coffee table to collect dust for a week, and then think that somehow, some way, by osmosis, because you're Christian, it's all going to jump in your mind and your head. That
Amen.
Doesn't work that way, Pastor.
Amen.
I believe we have John on the line. Give you the question or comment, please.
Yep. Good morning, Dr. Youngblood and Dr. David. Pastor Davis, and let's see, what is it? Happy Friday the 13th.
Amen. Nothing wrong with the 13th.
No, actually, it was my locker number in high school, 1313, baseball uniform, hockey uniform. Anyway, getting to the question. We were in Mount Dora about a month ago, and we went on an airboat ride, and we were talking to the captain, Justin, before we went on the airboat ride, and we were talking about Jesus, and he goes, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in the Bible. And he used the example of you give a statement to somebody, and then they transfer that statement like 30 times. In other words, the first person tells the second person. The second person tells the third person. By the time you get to the 30th person, it's not anything what the first person said. So how do you answer the question of the Bible's been around for so long, it's been through so many revisions and editing and stuff like that, that it is still the Word of God? So that's my question.
John, that's a good question. Let me answer it this way. One of the most detrimental things to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God is the marketing for money, M-O-N-E-Y, of the Word of God. You have today some 400, 500, or 600 different so-called translations. Overwhelming majority of them are not worth the wallpaper to put in a outhouse. And I think that's pretty clear. There are so many today that's in the marketplace that's marketing Bibles, you know, the layman's Bible, the workman's Bible, the woman's Bible, the child's Bible, the adult's Bible, the teenager's Bible, the soldier's Bible, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And all of them are being marketed for the M-O-N-E-Y. Let's go back and stick to the original text. Let's go back and stick to what I call the best manuscript for the Bible that we have today, which is the old King James text. Now, I'm not going to condemn those that may be listening that are reading out of something else. I've said to people, the more you study the Word, the more you learn the Word, the more you're going to want to get to the refinement of the truth of the Word. But let's go back to the fundamentals of the statement that you said that was made. That is coming from the lips of a person that wants to find an excuse to reject the Word of God. You could say to that same person, you can take writings about George Washington, and you don't have the original letter from George Washington or the original bio of George Washington, but you have copies of it. You have where people have written about it. Are you going to cast those out? You can go back to any of the famous writings in history, famous people in history, and I could say the same thing. It's a matter of a spiritual mind that's wanting to reject the truth of the Word of God, and that's one of the avenues.
Amen.
It's like I had a person say one time to me, prove God. I said, I don't have to prove him. God calls me just to proclaim him. I'm not called to prove God. Some people say, well, prove the Bible. I'm not called to prove the Bible. I'm called to simply proclaim the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
And there's a vast difference. And you can kind of get to the bottom line when you come back to an individual with speaking the truth in love of confronting the disbelief. And that's what it is, disbelief. And even among Christians, there's a lot of disbelief today. It's the reason the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and following, Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Now, he didn't say, Pastor, he didn't say, I would not have you to have you ignorant, brethren.
Amen.
He said, I would not have you to be ignorant.
To be ignorant.
That's right.
Praise God.
And when you translate that word, it means stupid.
Amen.
Paul said, I don't want you to be stupid. And he's talking about those that have died. Where are they? What has happened to those loved ones that have died? And so I hope that that is a answer. It's not a succinct, definitive, you can go to this verse or that verse answer, but it is an answer that I believe because I've found it and I've faced it many, many, many times down through the years and over 55 years of ministry, that is the general approach for a person that's a disbeliever wanting to show his, how would you say, academia and try to have some excuse not to believe the Word. I believe I have Philip on the line. Go over with the question and comment, please.
Good morning. God bless both of you and your ministries. And my question is concerning the fullness of the Gentiles. It says that my understanding is that the rapture will happen when the last Gentile is saved. Now, does that mean that during the tribulation no Gentiles will be saved, only Jews?
Let me put it this way. The age of the Gentiles, there's not a definitive verse in the Scripture that will validate what I'm about to tell you. But May 15th, 1948, when Israel became a nation, was reconstituted as a nation, after 2,500 years of diaspora around the globe, God brought them back together. It's never happened with any other nation. It's the apple of God's eye. when God brought Israel back into their own land, May 15, 1948, I believe we can go back and definitively say at that point is when God started disengaging with the Gentile nations and the Gentile world and re-engaging with the Gentile, with the Jewish people. I believe that is pretty definitive when you find today, at one time you didn't hear anything about Israel, and now almost on a daily basis around the globe, there's the point of Israel, something about Israel, something about the Jewish people. Now, going back to after the rapture of the church, when the rapture of the church takes place, only the saved people will be lifted out, the body of Christ, those that are blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. And then the man of sin, the Antichrist, the lawless one, the Scripture calls him, will step on the scene and will rule and reign with an iron fist for 7 years. During that seven-year period of time called the tribulation, during that period of time, people will get saved. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed, and the first 3.5 years, God's dealing with a global universe of people. The last 3.5 years, God is dealing precisely, particularly with the Jewish people, so that they will eventually recognize Yeshua Messiah. We find that in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9 and following, where ultimately, when it seems as though the Jewish people will be totally annihilated, that they will see Jesus Christ as Yeshua Messiah and weep and wail as over the loss of the firstborn son in the family, and they will be saved. Romans chapter 11, verse 25 and 26 says, all of Israel shall be saved. And the all of Israel, at the time that comes to fruition, will be that minuscule remnant of Israel that is left. And the all, A-L-L, will be inclusive. All of Israel, all of the Jewish people shall be saved.
Amen.
So we're watching the wrap-up today. We're watching the wrap-up today of God's dealing with the Gentile world. And as soon as the church is raptured out, the end of God's dealing with the Gentile world is over. And God is then focusing on the Jewish nations, focusing on the Jewish people, for them to come into the household of faith. I pray that that was an answer that's beneficial for you and a blessing. Any other questions or comments?
85 Mount.
Say again. Oh, I got you.
Okay.
Yeah, leave the, any of our callers today, please let me remind you again, leave your name and address to with Roger. Roger will get your name and address, get that to us. We will have that. Then we will ship this book to you. It's called Bible Doctrines in Question and Answer Form, Knowing Biblical Truth. It's by Dr. Neil Phelps, published by Conservative University Press. Dr. Phelps did a superb job in this. It is succinct. It is compact. But it covers all of the 10 major doctrines with the key questions that will be asked with the biblical text for the answers to each of those.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor, I am thankful that people are willing. I have found, and I'm thankful people are willing to ask questions. I found that the sad thing is so many Christians will have questions that they're afraid that if they ask, it will show some element of a lack of knowledge on their part.
Amen.
So unfortunately, many Christians will not even ask a question because they think that it will show that they're too immature, too elemental. And there's not any question that's too immature, too elemental to ask. Now, there's some frivolous questions out there that's been asked since the beginning of time. Where did Cain get his wife? And the only answer is it was his sister. But yet that question is generally asked, and I've had hundreds and hundreds of different questions asked down through the years. But one of the major problems that we find, Pastor, is that from our pulpits today, there's the allegorization of Scripture that is taking Scripture and making a yarn out of it, as I've used the term, take the Scripture and put four legs on it and make it stand up and bark and call it a dog.
Amen.
It is making the Scripture say something that in context the Scripture does not say. And perhaps you've heard me say before, ladies and gentlemen, as I teach in the classroom in what class it's called hermeneutics, I tell the students that there are five things important on biblical interpretation. It's context, 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 and context. If it's a text out of context, it's a pretext. It should never be used for a text. And yet we have a lot of pastors today, and some of them are doing so because they're not schooled in the Scripture themselves. So I must tell you to begin with that there are a lot of pastors that are making grave errors in what they preach and teach and say because that's the way they were taught. That's what they believe. They've never gotten into the Scripture and been trained in the Scripture to understand what the Scripture says.
Amen.
This is the reason, Pastor, I recommend to so many people, just as you alluded to earlier, the vital need for pastors, Sunday school teachers, whether it's a theologian or not, to be able to sit in a Bible classroom and study the Scripture and learn the Scripture so that they can impact lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe John is on the line again with another question.
I am. Pastor, I'm riding along and I'm looking at the trees, the clouds, all that kind of stuff. And I have this come to mind. It's like, wow, how can I understand God? He's a three person. He's a Trinity. He created everything. He controls the whole universe. So the question would be, do I need to understand everything, or can I just be a believer and just by blind faith?
Well, I wouldn't call it blind faith. Faith is not necessarily blind, even though faith is, according to Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 11, verse 1, it's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we're believing what God's Word says, and we take it by faith. You're right exactly on that. We can't understand everything in the Scripture. There's not one person that can understand it. Dr. Jack Van Impe's gone on to be with the Lord. Dr. Jack Van Impe had memorized all of the Old Testament, all of the New Testament, and major portions of the Old Testament. But that did not make him so brilliant that he didn't have to still study the Scripture. I have said many, many, many years, John, that a person can study the Scripture, study the Bible, study the Word of God 200 lifetimes, if that were possible. 200 lifetimes, if that were possible, and never scratch the surface on what God has for us in His Word. But if we're saved, and you can identify and attest to this, once we're saved, there's a hunger to study the Word. You take a baby when it's born, he wants the milk, he wants the milk, he wants the milk.
Right.
But just as the Apostle Paul said in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, I can't give you the meat of the Word because you're still on the milk of the Word. You're still infantile. If a baby is born and he's 12 years old and he still wants that bottle, if he's 12 years old and he still wants to crawl on the floor, there's a problem. That's a tragedy. If a person is saved and he's been saved for 30, 40, 50 years and he can barely quote John 3:16, there is an immaturity there. There's a problem there. There's a retardation of that that he could have if he simply studied the Scripture. So, yes, there's a need to study the Scripture. And at whatever level, I tell any person, at whatever level you are at today, whatever level of theological, doctrinal, biblical understanding you're at today, that tomorrow, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Jump on board and start studying the Scripture. Get involved in the Scripture. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but is rightly dividing the word of truth, the Scripture says. God told Joshua when he called him to lead the children of Israel into the promised land after Moses had died, he said, I want you to stand up, get up, and cross over. And then he told him in chapter 1, verse 789, to stay in the word. Don't go to the left, don't go to the right, but stay in the Word. That's called cutting it straight, staying in the Word. He said, then thou shalt be successful, then thou shalt be prosperous. And that word prosperous means to be successful in what God's called us to do. And so I pray that that is a answer for you, that is a challenge and encouragement. And I encourage every listener today, wherever you are in your study, wherever you are in the study of the Word of God, recognize that today is a new day. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life. Make a commitment to God today that I'm going to study the Word. I'm going to meditate on the Word. I'm going to allow the Word of God to be hidden in my heart that I'll not sin against Him. That's what David said in Psalms 119, verse 11, that he's going to hide the Word of God in his heart that he might not sin against God. And that is the key to it. That is the key to it, is understanding the Word and allowing the Word of God to speak to us, direct us. Pastor, what do you say to that?
Well, basically, Dr. Youngblood, I think we need to understand everything we need to know about God is basically written in the Scripture.
Yes.
When we start trying to figure Him out, then we're putting Him in a box.
That's right.
We can't bring Him down on our level.
That's right.
Because He said in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. As high the heavens are above the earth, so high my thoughts and ways above your thoughts and
Amen.
Ways. And then when we go to the book of Job, I'm just going to scan through this right quick. It says in Job 36:26, behold, God is great and we know Him not. Neither can the number of His years be searched out.
That's right.
So there are some things that God reserves unto Himself.
That's right.
We're not to know all of these things. Mm-hmm. What we need to learn how to do is to humble ourselves and stay in our place.
That's right.
And not put ourselves above Him.
All He wants us to know, He's already given us in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God.
Amen.
Nothing more, nothing less, no additive, no subtraction. It's simply what's there.
Amen.
And the key to it is to study it.
Amen.
And the Scripture says, study to show thyself approved in the 2 Timothy text that the Apostle Paul gives us there. That word study, when you do the Greek understanding of that word study. It means it takes labor. It is diligence. It is digging. It is a focusing on. It is to study. Just as you go to a class to be a rocket engineer of some type, you've got to study. You've got to devote yourself to it. And that's what the scripture says we need to do as Christians, is to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a 1 minute top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. Get your questions ready. We want to talk with you about Bible questions and answers today.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.